Welcome to Zikhu Dafsi. My name is Avram Goldhart, and today we're Zikhu Ksubas, Daf Lamed Hey, the third parak, Eil Na'aros. The Zikhu Maseches Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for HaChazachas HaTorah. So the three drops are going to focus on number one. On Daf Lamed Dalet Amabes, Rav Dimi reported that Rabbi Yochanan holds Chayve Misa Shogegin Chayv, that those who inadvertently did an action, which is a capital crime, are Chayv monetary payment. Rabbi questions if there's anyone who holds that, for it was taught in Brice in the base midrash of Chizkiah. The Torah makes a comparison between the psukim of Maka Adam u'Maka Behema, one who strikes a man who is executed and does not pay damages, and one who strikes an animal who always pays damages. From here we learn, Ma Maka Behema lo chilakdebo, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, just as one who strikes an animal, you do not distinguish whether he did a b'shogeg or b'mezid, or whether he had kavanah to strike this animal, or did not have kavanah and accidentally struck this animal instead of another animal, or between a downward blow or an upward blow, to patur him from paying money. Rather, the pasuk means mechayev him to pay in all these cases. Af maka adam, so too when it comes to striking a man, in all these distinctions just mentioned, the Torah is not coming to be mechayev to pay in any of these cases. Rather, it's coming to exempt him from paying in all these cases. Rav Dimi's report is thus refuted. Point number two, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he reported that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagree b'chayvei malchus shogegin b'davar acher. With regard to those who did a transgression b'shogeg that when done b'mezid is chayv malchus and is also chayv a monetary payment at the same time. Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayv to make the payment, for he holds only chayvei misas itkush. Only those who did acts that are chayv the death penalty when done b'mezid are compared to one who strikes an animal, in that they're always pater from payment. But chayvei malchus lo itkush. But those who did acts that are chayv malchus when done b'mezid are not compared to one who strikes an animal, and they're not always pater from payment. Reish Lakish says he's pater. Beferish Rib Satorah chayvei malchus kachayvei misas. For the Torah explicitly included those chayv from malchus in the exemption from payment, just like those chayv the death penalty. When the Gemara asked where the Torah includes this law, Abaye said it's derived from the Gezer Shava of Rasha Rasha. Rashi explains that it says with regard to those chayv misa, asher hu rasha lamus, who is guilty to be put to death. And it says by those chayv malchus, v'hayayim bin hakos rasha, and it shall be if the guilty one deserves malchus. Rava says it's derived from maka, one who strikes with regard to malchus, and maka with regard to one who strikes an animal. And point number three, Rav Chiya said to Rava, according to the Tana of the base midrash of Chizkiah, who made the comparison of maka adam and maka behema, on what basis did he presume the cases where he struck the animal on a weekday and not on Shabbos, when one can distinguish between an act done by shogeg and one done by mazid? The Gemara answers that the pasuk cannot be referring to where he struck the animal b'shogeg on Shabbos, for the pasuk states, "Umaka behema yishalmena, umaka adam yumas." One who strikes an animal shall pay for it, and one who strikes a man and kills him shall be put to death. If the person was not warned, why should he be put to death? Rather, it was obvious he was warned. Now, if it was on Shabbos, why would one who strike an animal pay? If he was warned not to strike and he struck it, he'd be chayv misa and patur from payment. Therefore, the pasuk must be dealing with one striking an animal on a weekday when he's always chayv payment, regardless of whether he acted b'shogeg or b'mezid. So once again, the 3 points are number one. On Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, Rav Dimi reported that Rabbi Yochanan holds chayv misa shogegin chayv, that those who inadvertently did an action, which is a capital crime, are chayv monetary payment. Rava questions if there's anyone who holds that, for it was taught in Brice in the base midrash of Chizkiah. The Torah makes a comparison between the psukim of Maka Adam and Maka Behema, one who strikes a man who is executed and does not pay damages, and one who strikes an animal who always pays damages. From here we learn, Ma Maka Behema lo chilakdebo, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, just as one who strikes an animal, you do not distinguish whether he did a b'shogeg or b'mezid, or whether he had kavanah to strike this animal, or did not have kavanah and accidentally struck this animal instead of another animal, or between a downward blow or an upward blow, to patur him from paying money. Rather, the pasuk means mechayev him to pay in all these cases. Af maka adam, so too when it comes to striking a man, in all these distinctions just mentioned, the Torah is not coming to be mechayev to pay in any of these cases. Rather, it's coming to exempt him from paying in all these cases. Rav Dimi's report is thus refuted. Point number two, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he reported that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagree b'chayvei malchus shogegin b'davar acher. With regard to those who did a transgression b'shogeg that when done b'mezid is chayv malchus and is also chayv a monetary payment at the same time. Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayv to make the payment, for he holds only chayvei misas itkush. Only those who did acts that are chayv the death penalty when done b'mezid are compared to one who strikes an animal, in that they're always pater from payment. But chayvei malchus lo itkush. But those who did acts that are chayv malchus when done b'mezid are not compared to one who strikes an animal, and they're not always pater from payment. Rish Lakish says he's pater, beferish ribs at Torah chayvi malkios kachayvi misos. For the Torah explicitly included those chayv from malkos in the exemption from payment, just like those chayv the death penalty. When the Gemara asks where the Torah includes this law, Abaye said it's derived from the Gezer Shava of Rasha Rasha. Rashi explains that it says with regard to those chayv misa, asher hu rasha lamus, who is guilty to be put to death, and it says by those chayv malkos, vahaya im bin hakos rasha, and it shall be if the guilty one deserves malkos. Rava says it's derived from maka, one who strikes with regard to malkas, and maka with regard to one who strikes an animal. And point number three, Rav Chiya said to Rava, according to the Tana of the Beis Midrash of Chizkiya, who made the comparison of maka adam and maka behema, on what basis did he presume the cases where he struck the animal on a weekday and not on Shabbos, when one can distinguish between an act done b'shogeg and one done b'mezid? The Gemara answers that the pasuk cannot be referring to where he struck the animal b'shogeg on Shabbos, for the pasuk states, Umaka behema yishal mena, umaka adam yumas. One who strikes an animal shall pay for it, and one who strikes a man and kills him shall be put to death. If the person was not warned, why should he be put to death? Rather, it was obvious he was warned. Now, if it was on Shabbos, why would one who strike an animal pay? If he was warned not to strike and he struck it, he'd be chay misa and patur from payment. Therefore, the pasuk must be dealing with one striking an animal on a weekday when he's always chay payment, regardless of whether he acted b'shogeg or b'mezid. All right, so now we got our simur daf lamed hey, and our standard simon is a children's choir singing la, la, la. So here goes. The children's choir director, who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton, just as the choir was singing the Russia Russia chorus line of their song that compared Malkus to Misa, was shocked to see a sign on the animal that read, "You always be chayv a payment if you strike me on a weekday." Once again, it's emotion. The children's choir director, children's choir, that must be more on Duff, Lamed Hey, la, la, la. The children's choir director, who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton, which reminds us, it was taught to Bryce in the Beis Midrash of Chizkiya. The Torah makes comparison between the psukim maka adam and maka behema, one who strikes a man who is executed and does not pay damages, and one who strikes an animal who always pays damages. From here we learn that just as one who strikes an animal, you do not distinguish whether he did a b'shogeg or b'mezud, or whether he had kavana to strike this animal or didn't have kavana, he's always chayv to pay. So too, when it comes to striking a man and all these distinctions just mentioned, the Torah is not coming to mechayim to pay in any of these cases, rather it's coming to exempt him from paying in all these cases. So the children's choir director, who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton, just as the choir was singing the Russia Russia chorus line of their song that compared Malkus to Misa, which reminds us, when Ravin came from Eretz Israel to Babel, he reported that Yochanan and Rish Lakish disagreed, b'chayvi Malkus shogeging b'davar akher, with regard to those who did a transgression b'shogeg, that when done b'mezid, is chayv Malkus, and is also chayv a monetary payment at the same time. Rish Lakish says he's pater beferish ribs the Torah b'chayvi Malkios k'chayvi Misos, but the Torah explicitly included those chayv from Malkus in the exemption from payment, just like those chayv the death penalty. When the Gemara asks where the Torah includes this law, Abai said it's derived from the Gezer Shava of Russia, Russia. So the children's choir director, who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton, just as the choir was singing the Russia, Russia chorus line of their song that compared Malkus to Misa, was shocked to see a sign on the animal that read, "You will always be chayv a payment if you strike me on a weekday," which reminds us, the Gemara explains how the Tana of the Beis Midrash of Chizkiya, who made the comparison of Maka Adam and Maka Behema, presumed the case is where he struck the animal on a weekday and not on Shabbos, when one can distinguish between an act done b'shogeg and one done b'mezid. So once again, the children's choir director, who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton, just as the choir was singing the Russia Russia chorus line of their song that compared Malkus to Misa, was shocked to see a sign in the animal that read, "You will always be chayv a payment if you strike me on a weekday." All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf lamed aleph. So the simur daf lamed aleph is the law, and we use a judge. So here goes. The judge. That must mean we're on daf lamed aleph. The judge watched the prosecutor demonstrate how the thief bent down to eat a piece of stolen chalif while shooting an arrow into Shuz Rabim that tore through a sheet. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that the case of stealing chalif and eating it and shooting an arrow dalad amos through a silk are not comparable. In the case of the arrow, it's impossible to have a hanocha without the akira, and therefore the akira is considered the beginning of the act of transferring, whereas in the chalif case, one could bend down and eat it. Alternatively, in the arrow case, once he shoots the arrow, he cannot bring it back, whereas with the chalif, he can return it after he lifts it up. So the judge watched the prosecutor demonstrate how the thief bent down to eat a piece of stolen chalev while shooting an arrow into Shuzo Rabin that tore through a sheet, along with footage of his stealing a purse on Shabbos and taking small steps to Shuzo Rabin, which reminds us of Brisa taught that one who steals a purse on Shabbos from someone's house and then takes it into Shuzo Rabin is chayv to pay for the stolen purse, even though he's also chayv for the death penalty for Chilas Shabbos, for he's already become chayv for theft before he became chayv for stoning. We do not say Hagbad Tzorach Hotzahi. The lifting of the purse is a prerequisite for the act of transferring. For the Tana of the Brisa is Ben Azai, who says, Mahalach Ka'omadami, that walking is equivalent to standing. Rashi explains that Ben Azai holds that each step one takes is an Akira and a Hanocha, so that the last step he took before leaving the house was the Akira for which he was Chayv Chil Shabbos, not the earlier step he took when he stole the purse. So the judge watched the prosecutor demonstrate how the thief bent down to eat a piece of stolen chalev while shooting an arrow into a Shuzo Rabin that tore through a sheet, along with footage of his stealing a purse on Shabbos and taking small steps to a Shuzo Rabin, while the defendant sat silently, keeping his large 4x4 hands low to the ground. Which reminds us, the Gemara clarifies that in the case where the thief dragged the purse, he pulled it into a Shuzo Rabin, and Kagon Shatsir of Yad Lamatim Shosh Vekibla. It's where the thief brought his other hand close to the ground below the height of 3 tefachim and received the purse in that hand where it came to rest. This is in accordance with Rabu, who holds Yadu Shal Adam Chashivalo Ka'arba Araba. A person's hand is considered as an area 4x4 tefachim. Rashi explains that just like a hand is considered Chashiv for Hilchot Shabbos as a separate Rishus for Hanacha, so too here with regard to a Kinyan. The hand is considered a separate Rishus, and it's as if the thief lifted his hand 3 tefachim above the ground. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simur Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in the lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in the lab. Mad scientist in the lab? That must be more than Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in the lab designing a Kanas Omatic that would automatically give a Kanas to a Na'ara sister, but not to one who was a Shota Bogeres, which reminds us. The Gemara contrasts the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph that stated that if one violated a woman who was an Issacharis, such as a sister, she's entitled to the fine, with the Mishnah Makos that states, Elohen Elokin, these are the ones who receive Malkus for violating an Issar, and list one who has relations with an Issacharis, such as a sister. And it has been established for us that one does not receive malchus and pay money for the same crime. Ula answered, there's no difficulty. Our mission is dealing with Achus or Na'ara, his sister, who is a Na'ara, where the Kanas for a violation applies. And the mission of Malkus is dealing with Achus or Bagaris, his sister, who is a Bagaris, where Kanas does not apply. So the mad scientist in the lab designing a Kanas-O-Matic that would automatically give a Kanas to a Na'ara's sister, but not to one who was a Shoto Bagaris, built in an Ein Tachas Ein camera to ensure one paid the fine and didn't get lashes, which reminds us. The Gemara infers from Rule's answer that he holds that wherever one is high both a monetary payment and lashes, that the person pays and is not lashed. The Gemara seeks to identify Ula's source and concludes, it's learned from the Gezer Shava of Tachas Tachas. It's written with regard to the violator, she shall become his wife, Tachas Asherina, in place of his violating her. And it's written with regard to one who strikes and wounds another, Ein Tachas Ein, an eye in place of an eye. Just as there, in the case of one who wounds another, he pays money and does not receive malchus, even if he was warned not to strike the victim, so to every place where there's both a chiyuv of money and lashes, such as in the case where one violates his sister, the person pays and is not lashed. So the mad scientist in the lab designing a kanas-o-matic that would automatically give a kanas to a Na'ara sister, but not to one who was a Shoto Bogeres, built in an Ein Tachas Ein camera to ensure one paid the fine and didn't get lashes, because the last one he made accidentally gave 40 lashes instead. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan holds that wherever there's a chiyuv for both money and malchus, and he's warned about malchus, he receives malchus and does not pay. The pasuk regarding Malkus states that the person receives lashes kedei rishaso in accordance with his wickedness, from which we can learn mishum risha achas at mechayev but via mechayev mishum shtei rishios. You may punish him for one act of rishos, but you cannot punish him for two acts of rishos, referring to penalties for both money and lashes. And the next pasuk states arbaim yakenu, 40 lashes he shall strike him. Rashi explains that we learn from here that where there are two penalties, he's lashed and does not make a monetary payment. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simur Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate. Peg leg pirate? That must have been Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg leg pirate who was agitated because he couldn't give Asra to the Edim Zomim, which reminds us. Belezer says Edim Zomim pay money and do not receive Malkas, Mishum Dura Bnei Hasran, because they're not subject to receiving warning before they commit their transgression. Rashi explains, we do not subject someone to a physical punishment if they have not been warned. Rava clarifies why they can't give a swat to them a day or an hour before they testify, or right before they testify, or right after they testify. So the peg-leg pirate, who was agitated because he couldn't give a straw to the aiding Zoma meme, became livid when they laughed off his lashes warning because it was less severe than death, which reminds us, when Rav Shishan Braid Rav Edi brings a source that a chobo b'chavero, one who wounds another, pays money and does not receive malkas, he mentions the rule, musra l'davar al-chamur, having musra l'davar al-kal. One who's warned for a severe matter is considered warned for a lighter matter. For example, if someone was warned that striking and killing someone would result in the death penalty, he's considered warned that striking and wounding his opponent would subject him to lashes. So the peg-leg pirate, who was agitated because he couldn't give hasra to the Aim Zoma meme, became livid when they laughed off his lashes warning because it was less severe than death. And then one ran off and stole his pirate sheep and had his friend shecht it on Shabbos. Which reminds us what Meir says, that one who steals an ox or sheep and shecht it on Shabbos pays 4 or 5 times, even though he also gets the death penalty. The Gemara explains that the Brice is dealing with the case of Botaveach al Yedei Acher. It was shechted through another person. Rava clarifies that even though we hold Ein Shaliach Devar Avera, there's no Shaliach for a transgression. In this case, the Torah states, Utvachu Macharu, and shechts it or sells it. Just as the thief is chayv when he brings about the sale by involving another person, referring to a buyer, so too he is chayv when the shechting is through another person. Daf Lamed Daled, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. The person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish forbidden to all on top of a ladder. A ladder? That must be more daf lamed daled. The person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish forbidden to all on top of a ladder, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, if one cooked on Shabbos going to Rav Meir, if it was done b'shogeg, he may eat what he cooked, but if it was done b'mezid, he may not eat it. Rav Yudah says, b'shogeg he may eat it motzi Shabbos, b'mezid he may never eat the food, but Rashi explains, others may eat it. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, b'shogeg, the food may be eaten by others after Shabbos, but not by him. B'mezid, the food may never be eaten by anyone. The Gemara brings the psukim for Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's opinion. So the person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish, forbidden to all, on top of a ladder, when he accidentally dropped it on the head of a thief who stole a shor niska from a shomer's house, which reminds us. The Gemara asks how Rabbi Meir could rule that a thief who steals and shechts a shor niska, an ox condemned to be stolen, could be chayiv, the 4 or 5 times payment. It's not the animal of the original owner they're shechting, since the moment it's condemned, it becomes aser b'hana. Rabbi answered that we're dealing here with a case in which the ox had been given to a shomer, and then it killed a person and was condemned to death while in his custody, and then the thief stole it from the shomer's house. Rabbi Meir holds even after the verdict is reached, hachziru shomer l'bal of muchzor. If the shomer returns the animal to its owner, it's considered return. He also holds davar gorm l'mamun k'mamun dami. Something that can cause a benefit of money is considered as money. Even though the animal is asa b'hana, it's considered, so to speak, owned by the shomer, since it causes him a benefit that he does not have to pay for damages when he returns it to the owner. Therefore, the thief has stolen the animal from the shomer and must pay 4 or 5 times to the shomer. So, the person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish forbidden to all on top of a ladder, when he accidentally dropped it on the head of a thief who stole a shor niska from a shomer's house and was shechting it himself on Shabbos, making mechayv and misa and to pay 4 or 5 times. Which reminds us, Rabbah brings an alternative explanation for how Rabbi Meir holds that a thief can be chayv 4 or 5 times the payment when the animal is shechted on Shabbos. Actually, you can say the cases where the thief shechts the animal himself and not through a shaliach. And you can still say that Rabbi Meir generally holds that one can get malkas and pay for the same transgression, but he does not hold he can be chayv misa and payment at the same time. But this case is different. The chiddush is shechidsha the Torah b'knas, for it's a chiddush the Torah was mechadish with a knas, afagav the mikdo misham, that even though he's executed, he still pays the fine. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which definitely when a thief who steals and shechs a shor niskal could be chayv 4 or 5 times when the thief steals it from the shomer's house, that's on daf? Lamed Daled. Good. Number 2. Which definitely when Edim Zomim are not b'nei hasra, they cannot be worn, that's on daf? Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which definitely when from Maka Admu, Maka Behema, that chayve miso shogegim baturin, that's on daf? Lamed Hey. Good. Number 4. Which stuff did you learn? Musfu adabra chamur, habi musfu adabra akal. One warned for a severe matter is considered warned for a less severe matter. That's on Dav. Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which stuff did you learn that Ula learns that one pays and is not lashed from the Gezer Shava of Tachas Tachas? That's on Dav. Lamed Beis. Good. Number 6. Which thing when the Rav Yochanan Sandler holds that if one cooks b'mezid on Shabbos, the dish is forbidden to everyone forever? That's on Daf. Lamedal, good number 7, which they were by learns from the Gezer Shava of Rush, that the Torah explicitly included those chai from Malkus in the exemption from payment, just like those chai of the death penalty. That's on Daf. Lamed Hey, good number 8, which they learn according to Shimon HaTimni, the woman must be fitting to be his wife to receive a kanas, and according to Reb Shimon Manasseh, she must be fitting to remain his wife. That's on Daf. Chavtes. Good number 9. Which of the when a thief can be chayv 4 or 5 times when he shechs on Shabbos because it's a special chiddush by knas that even though he's executed, he still pays the fine. That's on Daf. Lamedal. Good. And number 10. Which of the when that the pasuk of Makkah Behema is referring to a weekday. That's on Daf. Lamed Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldham Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.